We have the great privilege of opening God's Word and to spend time in the gold mine of God's treasury. We're going to read Romans chapter 6, the verses 1 to 11. Our text this morning is the verses 5 to 11. But we'll read from verse 1. Romans chapter 6 is part of God's holy, living, inerrant, and inspired word. We read, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us pray that the Lord would open our hearts and show us the truth meaning. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we are weak and frail, that you, with your mighty, empowering Spirit, would speak to us and teach us your word and help us to consider what is real, so that the lies would be replaced and the light would press away the darkness and we would walk in newness of life. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely the starting point of the Christian life. It is the beginning, it is the middle, and it is the end of the Christian life. For the Apostle Paul, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was not only a message that you preach to bring people to Christ, it is a message that you preach to help people walk with Christ and ultimately to meet Christ in heaven face to face. It's the beginning, it's the middle, and it's the end of the Christian life. We need to hear the message of Jesus' death and resurrection every day of our Christian life. It is our Christian life. It's really the key to understanding the Christian life. And I think what has happened over time is that we've kind of got the idea, if we look at Christian books today and all of that, that we start with the gospel. It's the Roman road, the plan to salvation. And then once we're saved, we're going to go to 10 steps of this or 7 steps of that or 5 steps of that. And all of that can be very helpful advice. And some of them might be grounded in God's word. But we kind of get the idea that the gospel is the entry point. And then we just kind of store it into the back of our mind of something by which we have been justified. And then we try to live out that which has happened in the past. Now, the Apostle Paul really says that the only way to live the Christian life in the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit is by constantly being reminded of Jesus' death and resurrection and what that has done to us in the past and what it has done to us today. It's what should be called gospel living. We need to live in the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection every day. The less we know it, the less we understand it, the more we struggle and are defeated by sin. The more we understand it, the more we know it, the more we overcome sin and walk in the newness of life. It is simply that simple. The more we understand, the more our minds are filled with the truth of the gospel for us today, the better we can serve God and live with Him and live in the freedom that comes through the gospel. And the more we are unaware of what has happened to us if we're in Christ, the more we will be like that picture that you saw on the screen, chained to our old life, even though it's already torn from our ankle, spiritually speaking. In our text today, the Apostle Paul drills deeper into this wonderful fountain of truth, of living water. And so Paul explains that Jesus' death and resurrection has liberated us from three things. Three things that we are no longer bound by, that no longer are our masters. Three things of which I'm afraid sometimes in our current Christian vocabulary, we make it sound as though we're still enslaved to it. These are the three things. No longer the old self, no longer enslaved to sin, and no longer under the dominion of death. That's clear as day in the passage. If you are skeptical, just read the passage again, and it's very clear. And no longer, Paul says, we are connected to the old self, or no longer we should be connected to the old self. We'll dive into that. We're no longer to be enslaved to sin, and we're no longer to be under the dominion of death. This morning, I want us to see these three things and how they set us on a whole new way of living. Now, there's two ways of listening to this sermon, as there are really two ways of listening to any sermon. I guess there's more than these two, but the two that I'm speaking about, the one is, oh yeah, that's what the Bible says, so it must be true. And a lot of times we listen to sermons like that, and we think, well, that's the end of listening to sermons, or we say, well, the pastor's wrong, but if it is scriptural, it's like, oh, that's true. That's not how we should read a text like this. The way that we should read a text like this is, this is where I must live. This is true, and it must be a reality in my life. Wash your word over me, O Spirit of the living God, so that the old thoughts are gone and new thoughts flow into my mind, so that my heart is no longer stuck by the old lies of the devil, but is now renewed. Renewing of the mind, Romans 12:2, is now renewed so that I live in a new life. So we must listen to it in that way and really read the text in that way. So let's begin. I really want to start here with verse 6, because verse 5 is kind of connecting it to where we were last week. And verse 6 carries this on. Verse 6 we read, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now remember how we should listen to the sermon and how we should read this text. We should read it in this way. Now I know, together with all the other believers here, but I know that my old self was crucified with him. Praise the Lord. In order that, for the purpose or the reason that, the body of sin, which I knew very well, would be brought to nothing, destroyed, done away with, so that I would no longer be enslaved to sin. You see that?
That should be the vocabulary of the Christian life. And that should be how we speak if we follow the Apostle Paul. You see the difference? The question really is, what is our old self, isn't it? What is our old self that was crucified with Christ? And how does that lead to the other things? And Paul is using very strong words here. He's using the word crucified. I mean, this is not the old self was given a lower position, or the old self was demoted to second place. No, the old self was on the cross, nailed, and crucified. So that the body of sin would be slightly weakened. Is that what it says? No, so that the body of sin would be brought to nothing. That's what Paul wants us to see, you see. To understand what Paul says, we really need to understand that something radically changed, that we are no longer what we were before. We are different from our old lives, our old self. And we really need to understand this word old self, shouldn't we? What is the old self? How is it crucified? Well, in the original, it says old man. The old man was crucified. Some of you might read a translation where it says old man. The old man was crucified, and I love the ESV translation. I just wish that we'd kept the word old man, even though it sounds a little bit more confusing. Old self is maybe more familiar. But old man helps us to see what Paul is saying because he connects it to the previous chapter. You see that? He's using that same word. He's been talking about two men in Romans 5, remember? And now he's talking about that same word and he's applying it to us. He's drawing a connection. In Romans 5, think about verse 15, for example. For if many died through one man's trespass, that's that same word, man. If many died through one man's trespass, that man is Adam, right? Through Adam's trespass. Much more if the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. You see two men. There's the old Adam, which means men as well in the Hebrew, Adam. So you have the old man Adam sinned and led everybody into sin. Now you have a new man, Christ, that has brought people to righteousness. So we have, and you know, of course, that in Romans, when Paul wrote, he didn't write, okay, chapter number 5 of my letter. It was just one big letter, and chapters help us to know where to find our spot in the Bible. But in the old Paul, this is a continuous story. And he's been writing about two men. You have Adam and Christ, and now he comes to apply it to us, and he says, your old man, your old self, as our translation has it, your old man has been crucified. Now we need to connect the dots here, right? Old Adam is connected to old self. And we will see that the new is connected to the new self. In Romans 6, Paul this speaks again about two men. The old man, and then implied there's a new man. Paul explains that the old man is the believer's previous self or man who was crucified and buried with Jesus in baptism so that the new self might live through Jesus Christ. Old is died, new is resurrected. Just like the old Adam is being replaced by the new Adam. The old man was related to Adam. The new man is related to Jesus Christ. Paul writes that we know that our old self, our old man, was crucified with Jesus in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Now he connects two things. He says the old self is connected to the body of sin. You see that? Our old self is the reason why we are dominated by sin. It's a body of sin. It's not a body who has sin or who sometimes commits sin. The body of sin together is related directly to Adam. Now that brings us back, stay with me, that brings us back to what we talked about in Romans 5, that Adam brought sin into the world, not just the guilt to us, but the power of sin, so that our heart was corrupted with sin, so that we were under the dominion of sin and enslaved to sin. You remember we spoke about that. Now it comes to ourselves, and Paul is saying something incredible. When Jesus went on the cross, he died as the new Adam. But when we believe in him, our old self dies there with Christ and is buried with Christ, so that we are released from the curse, the corruption of Adam. The old self is like the head of a snake that has a body of sin. What Jesus Christ did is he cut the head of the snake by his own death, by which the body of sin is brought to nothing. And so now, the old self, the old man, is that part of humanity that causes us to walk in sin. When you were born into the world, that's who we are. We're the old self. Everyone in the world that doesn't know Christ only has the old self. This is why you cannot make an unbeliever walk in the righteousness of Christ, because he doesn't have the capacity. He is under the dominion of sin. The body of sin is fully alive. He's attached to it. That's all he has. Now, look at the words of Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with him. Is that past, present, or future tense? Past. Was crucified. It's not in the stage of being crucified with him. It's not something that one day will be crucified with him. No, if we are a believer, the old self was crucified with him. Past tense. In order that, for the purpose of, so that, the body of sin might be brought to nothing. That body, that power of sin, that dominion of sin that causes to creep into your life and dominate you, so that that would die. You cut the head off the snake so that the snake dies. You don't just want the head to die, you want the whole snake to die. So that, here comes the ultimate purpose, right? Body of sin, die. That's the intermediate purpose. Then comes the ultimate purpose, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. That's the purpose. Something happened in the past that had a purpose, that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. That had its purpose so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Paul is very strong. Something has fundamentally changed. Before, our old self was alive and we were enslaved to sin and we could not escape it. Like the picture you just saw of the man that has this enormous ball of lead on his ankle. We were overpowered by sin. We could dance around it perhaps. We could switch from different sins, but we could not escape it. We were stuck, enslaved. But since Christ came into our lives and we into Christ, something has fundamentally changed. The old self was nailed to the cross. This is something that's actually happened in the life of a believer. You don't feel this, so to speak, right? You don't feel physical nails in your hands and in your feet, but it's actually separated, so that the body of sin might be destroyed. In other words, so that sin might no longer have a dominating power over you. Turn in your Bibles to another passage in Ephesians 4, 20 to 24. Because Paul talks again about the old self, and some people are confused when we see these two passages, because we think, well, it's crucified, it's dead, it's gone. And here in Ephesians 4, it seems to still be present. So I want to sort out this puzzle, and I think it will help us understand
what the old self is and how we relate to it. Ephesians 4:20 to 24, we read this. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. In Jesus, right? In the Christian life. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Old Adam, corrupted. That was us. We were corrupted. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So what's going on here? How can Paul say in Romans that the old self was crucified, was dead, and here he says we need to put it off? Well, Paul is describing it here as two coats. You see that? Put off the old, put on the new. Now in Romans, Paul is talking about enslavement and bondage. Why is that? He's talking about the same thing. And we all experience this in our life. Because even though the old self is crucified, the power is gone, the dominating power is gone, in the Christian life, something has changed in that we can relate to the old self in a whole new way that unbelievers are never able to do. The unbeliever cannot lay off the old self because he's enslaved. He's in chain. He's dominated. If you would have seen the guy, the man on the picture, he can try to destroy the chain all day long, but he's chained to it. He needs somebody else to rip the chain from his ankle. What Christ has done, he has ripped the chain. He has crucified the old self. And now Paul says, it is so changed that it has no power over you whatsoever, that you can now take that old corrupt man and lay it off like a garment. It's dead. Its claws are gone. Now, in a sense, you can wear it. You can sin, but you can lay it off, right? To put off the old self, the old man. Paul could never teach this to unbelievers. Unbelievers have no power to lay off the old man. They have no power to put on the new man. But through Jesus Christ, the old self has lost its power. It's crucified and dead. And so we can lay off the old man and put on the new man. That's where we're going to come in our conclusion today. Let's consider ourselves death to Christ and a life, death to sin and a life to Christ. Same idea. Consider, like put on, put off. To consider is I'm no longer wearing the old self. That's no longer me. It's dead. It's crucified. I am no longer that angry man, that hateful man, that corrupt man, that fill in the blank. I need to lay that off. That's no longer me. I'm a new man in Christ. That old, corrupt me has been crucified and buried with Christ. I'm not going to put an old body of death on me. I need to lay that off. I need to be clothed with Christ. I need to follow Christ by faith. That's what it says. And so the believer can and must lay off the old self and put on the new self, the old man, the new man, for Jesus Christ. And this is the point. Through Jesus Christ, we have been liberated from the enslavement of the old corrupted self. And the more we see that, the more we will lay it off. The less we see it, the more we will struggle with this confused identity. Saying, well, on the one hand, I'm this, and on the other hand, I'm that. But we need to lay it off. Put off the old. Put on the new. The old is crucified. And Satan might say, no, that's you. You're the old corrupted person. And the world might say,
That's what you want. You want to be corrupted. You want to sin. You want to lust. You want to steal. You want to overpower and break down. That's what you want.
And we must consider, be renewed, and say, no, that's not who I am. Well, that's no longer who I am. I used to belong to you. I used to be like that. You're right. I used to be. But you miss one thing, world, Satan. You miss the cross. Because on the cross, I died. You're pointing, you're talking to a body that is a rotting corpse on the cross and been buried. That's no longer me. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. I no longer walk in these old ways. I want to walk in the new. There's a newness of life that has become my life. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. It's not, I'm a really bad guy who needs to try to become a better guy. So I work hard every day in trying to make something good out of this clump of evil. I think that's how we often talk about ourselves. To some extent, you're right. That's who you were. And if you start muttering in the old self and you try to make the old self good, you're making either a hypocrite or some proud beast of a man. But the gospel is about the cross and about the resurrection of a new man, by which you have become a new person. There's a difference in which the old self and the new self functions. The old self is domineering. Satan is always domineering. This is what you see when you evangelize to somebody. And you see when you're talking to it that there is an interest in the person to hear the gospel. But Satan is like clutching. The old self is hanging on. It's putting the nails into the skin and not willing to let go like a leech. It's trying to suck the person dry. And it will not go until it's killed. But the new self is through the Spirit of God. It's described in the New Testament like a dove that rests upon the believer. It's gentle. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not clutching into our skin and say, you will. But it's graciously landing it, so to speak, its presence on us to guide us in the new way of Christ. And so Paul said we must put on the new self. The Holy Spirit is ready and willing to fill you with everything you need to walk in a righteous and holy life. And we are to clothe ourselves with the presence of God, with that new man through which we are resurrected from Christ, with Christ. We are to put on the new self. He doesn't come like a dictator, but like a loving king, like the comforter, the one who helps and lives within us and makes his home in us, leading us, guiding us into the path of life. And so the new self and its gracious nature is not domineering, but filled with righteousness and peace. And the amazing thing is, in the Christian life, it is the desire that Christ has implanted in the believer that makes him draw closer and closer to the Spirit of God. And he slowly begins to lay off the old self of sin. And of course, all of this is worked through the Holy Spirit, right? Don't get the idea that, well, you need Jesus at the beginning and then God just lets you live by yourself. But there is an active part in this, as we're going to see from Paul's words, and then especially next week, where we have to consider and understand all these things.
But this is the secret of the Christian life, right here in Romans 6. And it's something that's missed so often. And I can see it and hear it in my own heart and from lips around me, that we so quickly move on from this and try to live in some other strength. We again look at ourselves as though we're kind of this, like we're like in a tug of war between Satan and God, and we're just kind of like this dummy that is in the middle, and nothing has changed. It's just God pulls a little stronger now. Like the Hollywood that puts, you know, a good voice and a bad voice on the shoulder and, you know, wonder who's winning. No. The old self is crucified. If we were a bit more of a, I suppose, charismatic church, I would make you repeat these words. Right? I have been crucified with Christ. The old self has been crucified. It's gone and passed. The question is, are we laying off the old self? Or are we keeping it on? The reason why we keep it on is because we have not fully considered the gospel and its power and how we are different kinds of people. The earlier you see this in your Christian life, the better it is, because you're laying off the old. It's gone. All right, which brings us to point two. We know that our old self was crucified with him, Romans 6 and 7, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now again, according to Paul, are you going to die? Are you currently dying? Or have you died? You have died. This is gone. This is the path. When you come to Christ, you die at the cross and you're raised in the resurrection. That's how you become a Christian. You die with Christ and you're raised to a new life. Now, this is the logic of the gospel. Our old self was crucified for the purpose that the body of sin would be destroyed, so that for the purpose that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And the reason is this: one who has died has been set free from sin. It's very simple, isn't it? No longer bound to sinful desires and things like that. The crucifixion, let me put it this way. If we were to live 700-800 years ago, I think most of us would have lived in Europe or somewhere there. You had kings and rulers who dominated over the population, and you were bound to pay whatever respect or whatever they wanted from you to that king or emperor or whatever it was at the time. But when you died, you were free. They didn't go to people that were dead and say, give us some. The domineering dictator of the time was now no longer in charge of you, no longer could expect anything from you. And Paul says it's the same thing spiritually speaking. When you die, Satan no longer has any dominion over you. You're free. Brings us back to Adam. Oh, actually, before we go to, let me just say this. What Paul is saying is this: the crucifixion happened to destroy the body of sin for this purpose, so that you would be set free from the enslavement of sin. If you're a Christian, you must know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. You no longer have to be enslaved to sin. You no longer should be enslaved to sin. That's the teaching of the gospel. Brings us back to Adam, right? When Adam willfully submitted to sin, he made himself a servant to sin. As soon as he ate that apple, in a sense, or that fruit, in a sense, that fruit ate him.
He took a bite of sin, and sin entered him, corrupted him, and enslaved him. From that moment on, he was enslaved to sin, and all of us ever since that have come off the conveyor belt of humanity are born in sin. Of course, through birth and all of that. But we're enslaved to sin. Adam, as our forefather, enslaved us all to sin. Jesus Christ has come to take our enslavement to sin to the cross and destroy its power on the cross and through death, so that the enslavement is completely and definitely broken. A Christian no longer is under the dominion and enslavement of sin. It's broken. It's chained. When Jesus died, the chains of sin and slavery were broken. And here's the result. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we die with him on the cross so that this enslavement is no longer our master. The old man has died with Jesus, so we are no longer enslaved to sin. This is huge. This is huge. I mean, this should be our daily life. I mean, we should remind ourselves of this truth every day of our lives. You see, the power of Adam's corruption is broken. I grew up, and I'm not sure if this is, you have the same saying here in English as we did in Dutch. We always said, "Das ist doch menschlich." That's, well, we're just humans. Do you say something like this? It's just human. Or it's just human nature. It's just who we are. Paul would have a problem with that. If you say, well, we sin in this way because that's just who we are, Paul would say, whoa, wait a minute. What human are you talking about? Are you talking about Adam or Christ? Because there's no such thing as we're just this big clump of humanity and that's just who we are. We're just stuck in sin and we just roll like a big happy ball and just some happen to be Christian, some happen to be not. Paul says, stop. Christ made a distinction between the world that is still on in slavery, humanity that is stuck in Adam, and a new creation in Christ that is no longer enslaved to sin. It's entirely different. You're no longer bound to sin. You're free. And don't identify yourself with, well, I'm just like everybody else, and you know, we're just trying to make the best of it. I'm a prisoner, but hey, let me try to be a good prisoner of sin and sin a little less and all of that. No. It's totally different. You miss Romans 6. Don't tear it out of your Bible. Write it in gold. Through the cross, we are absolutely liberated from the obligation to sin and darkness. And we are liberated from the dominating power of sin. Humanity is not, in general. Without Christ, we are dominated by sin. The old self rules. The Christian is two men. Well, really, he was the old self, he now is the new. He has to put off the old self, but the old self no longer has its dominating power. He now must put on the new man. The unbeliever is dominated by the old man. That's all he is until he comes to Christ. And so we have no obligation to sin. We have no obligation to sin. We have no necessity to sin. And we should not identify ourselves as people who are bound and dead in sin. As soon as we do that, we're going to say, well, this is the old self. It's just my junk. It's just the way I was born with. It's what I wear. It's just who I am. Hopefully one day when I get to heaven, it's taken off. And Paul says, what? Are you kidding me? You keep wearing that old, dirty, rotting flesh? What are you doing?
Put it off. Put on Christ.
Keeps getting better. Romans 6, 8 to 10. Now we have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. For death no longer has dominion over you. The power of death that destroys you and separates you from God. Let me just give you a notice. It's 11 o'clock and we're going to keep going a little longer. So I don't want to stop right here if you're okay. The death here is speaking about the inability to see God and enjoy God. That death that had its dominion by which we couldn't see God and we couldn't walk with God is gone. Death is gone. Death is swallowed up in Christ. Now we can walk with God. John 17, this is eternal life that they may know you. This just keeps getting better, isn't it? This is our identity. We're no longer just, oh, I'm just kind of this Christian who's just kind of stuck in sin, and this is who I am, and I hope for the best as I keep on going with life. No, says the Apostle Paul. Death is gone. You cannot walk with Christ. You're no longer spiritually dead. You're spiritually alive. You're breathing. You're a heavenly citizen who has been raised from the dead, and you walk with God. That's who you are. You see that? It's totally new. This is daily living for the Christian life. We're not just kind of a people here who try to serve a big God out there, and we're just kind of struggling along in the weakness of our human flesh, and you know, we're just kind of stuck in this whole ball of sin. No, get gone with that. Lay that off. And walk in newness of life. So Paul writes, put on the new self. Listen to this. Created after the, this is Ephesians 4, 24 again. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, I can't live righteous and holy. I knew who I am. I know what I was born like. I know my mouth that I run my mouth. Paul says, what? What are you doing poking the old dead corpse? Get away from there. Walk in a righteousness and holiness that is freely given. If you believe in Jesus for justification, you must believe in Jesus for sanctification. You must walk, receive, and understand that you are a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ. I can speak to the women. When I say new man, I don't mean that it's that you become a man. It's because Christ is identified as a man. We're a new person in Christ. I hope you understand. Which brings us to the application. We'll be, unfortunately, short. But Romans 6:11, we talked about this last week. I just want to emphasize it so that we see that this is not just dry theology, but that we must actively set our minds to this if we are willing, if we want to walk in this. So Paul writes, by a command of the God of heaven, so you must, in Romans 6:11, so you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the command of God. As much as he calls you to believe in Jesus, you are commanded by God's word to consider yourself death to sin and alive to God. That's... Hi, who are you? I'm Paul. What kind of man are you? I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. That must be my mind, not, well, I'm just a poor struggler trying to... doing the best I can. No, I'm dead. There's nothing best I could do. And if I try to go in my old self, there's really nothing good there. I'm dead to Christ. Dead to sin. But alive to God. It says here, consider. It's not the idea of wishful thinking. Like, well, I really, you know, let's put positive thoughts in my head, right? That's the modern psychology. Just put happy thoughts in your head and maybe things will get better. No, that's not the kind of consider here. What it's consider here, what Paul is saying is, listen, you have your head filled with lies from when you were born and raised. Satan has filled your head with lies. Your flesh has filled your head with lies all throughout your life. You must clean house in your mind. You must come to the reality and understand what is actually true about you. You are separated from the chain of sin. You're no longer stuck to that. Even though you were, you're no longer stuck. You're free from that. You're free to run. Follow after Christ. Secondly, you must then consider yourself dead to sin. Satan says you're alive to sin. But your mind must begin to see what has happened. You're dead to sin. Sin and you are no longer friends. They're no longer addicted to each other. You're dead to sin. And finally, you must consider yourself alive to God. You have a new life. And in that new life, you're united to God. And you walk with God. That's who you are, beloved. If you're in Christ, you're dead to sin and alive to God. Don't settle for another gospel. Don't settle for other thoughts. Put this in your head and forget the rest. This is what the Word of God tells us. I am dead to sin and alive to God. When I come towards sin, and even when I taste sin, even when I touch sin, I must say, what am I doing? This is no longer who I am. I'm dead to this, but I'm alive to God. My eyes belong to God. My mouth belongs to God. My heart belongs to God. Everything I have and everything I am belongs to God. I'm no longer belonging to sin, but I've been set free by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to brood over our hearts and to hover over our minds, to imprint in us this new reality of the gospel, that we are dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ, that we might walk and enjoy, for Ephesians chapter 1, all the riches and the blessings of the heavenly places that are freely bestowed on us. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.